Can we do it? Good morning, afternoon, or evening. Welcome to the first episode of the Puddlecast podcast. With us, you can expect a mix of banter, baby fur brain rot, cars and motorcycles that are obnoxiously outside, pup play antics, kink culture, and current events. Think hot topics, but with diapers, tails, and a lot less side eye. We'll have new episodes each month, give or take. And this, my dear friends, is what we call a pilot. We have your hosts. Me, I'm Domino, and also Jakey.
Good evening, it's me.
And don't be confused. While we happen to be the leaders of Puddle Scouts, the president and executive director, respectively, this is not a Puddle Scouts-related thing. We're just doing this because we want to do it. Isn't that right?
I think I deserve to have a voice.
Before we get on with our main topics, there's something we probably should just address. We want to get the fat fodder out of the way, don't you think?
I think we should.
So, Jakey, what's your diaper status?
Ooh, shucks. I got some bad news.
What's the bad news?
There is no diaper.
On our pilot episode, there's no diaper.
Yeah, we're testing it out. It's a pilot.
Not even a pull-up.
Not even a pull-up. In our year of the Lord 2025, Tariff Nation, absolutely not.
Well, this is being recorded. You've all heard it here, folks. Jakey's not wearing a diaper.
Diapers are out.
Prepare the mops. Prepare the buckets.
Diapers were a Kamala Harris type thing, not a Donald Trump thing. He wears them, but because he wears them, we don't. Because we can't afford them.
Well, speak for yourself. I still wear them.
How does it feel to be the top 1%, Domino?
It feels good. For those that care, I'm quite soggy. I probably should have changed before this, but the back is dry, so you know. You live and you learn. Or never learn.
Famous last words. The back is dry.
You just expect it to work the way it should, but it never does. Physics is not your friend.
Well, I see. This is an important thing to know. What is it?
What is what?
What diaper is it?
Ah, Tykeable's Camelot.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
It's white, it's crinkly. It's at least got that going for it.
You have higher hopes than I.
So, while we're able to host this podcast, I think the question is, naturally, why are we, two white people, hosting another podcast? Why do we need another podcast in the ABDL space, fetish space, just in the digital airspace in general? Why does another podcast need to exist?
So I would say in terms of two white men, I would agree. We shouldn't. Someone should stop us. Please, God, stop us. But no one's going to do that. So moving on. As far as like a more, you know, in touch view, I think it's important for a community aspect to have more things like this, recorded media that can be reviewed as history, a live recap of what the community was experiencing at that time.
I actually think that's a very fair assessment. It's a good example of why ABDL media needs to exist. There isn't a lot of ABDL media, so to create some is inherently still rare and risky and kind of just, there are no rules.
It's true, we could be imprisoned for this.
Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll be back for the next episode. Who knows?
We got to worry about the contract negotiations first.
I think it is important for those reasons you stated. And also, why not? I've done other podcasts. I do other podcasts. I enjoy it. I've done it for a very long time now. I'm not going to say that I'm amazing at it. But, you know, if there's a need, I can fill a need. If there's a hole, I can fill a hole.
Will you swear to that in front of a notary public?
If there's a hole, it will fill a hole?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
My fist has been in a lot of places.
Oh, congratulations.
Beyond that, let's talk about some general ABDL news. What is going on in the world of diapers? Adult diapers, specifically.
I'll tell you. There's a new diaper from Kiddo Diapers, who, might I add, is a blossoming, up-and-coming contender for best diaper company stateside. Even though, you know, they're French. But they've set up shop here. It's the Kiddo Premium Night Diaper, which is quite literally a perfect recreation of a classic 90s... was it Pampers? I think Pampers.
I think so.
It's phenomenal. It's perfect. Tens across the board.
They're very cute. They're cartoon designs. They got clowns on them. They got the, you know, the landing strip with, like, the character and the color. They're kind of typical, I would say, but I mean, I like the way they look. They're very
they kind have of a strong absorption.
They're adjacent to, like, your pretend agains and your things like that.
I just think it's a perfect recreation of exactly what a large subset of the community was looking for, and they've perfectly captured it. We haven't had anything this good since Little Kings.
Interesting. It's been 2.5 years, if not more, since then.
ABDL creativity is in the slumps, I feel like.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, I take that back. ABDL creativity within the community is up. ABDL creativity in a capitalistic view seems to be down across the board.
I could probably agree with that. It feels like we had a lot of evolution, and then the Little Kings and the Alligators came along, and then we just stopped.
Everyone said, I feel like we kind of gave up.
Everyone said, oh, positional printing. And then everyone did the big animal designs on the back.
I have never been more betrayed by a company in my entire life than the day that Tykables redesigned Puppers. A timeless design. What they had was perfect. It was wonderful. Adored by many.
They were quite
and then cute. They replaced it with this bullshit. Keep that in.
Were you more upset by that, or were you more upset by when ABU took down the Kiddos originally?
Equal level, to be honest with you, because I was at a point in my life where I had lost my favorite diaper, which was the Kiddo diaper by ABU.
The 2-tape.
Phenomenal diaper. It's great. 2-tape. Awful absorption. It's like a piece of paper. But, God, it's phenomenal. They killed it. And then I had one left, which had become like an ABDL coming-of-age diaper for me through a transformative period in my life. And then Tykables crushed that and threw it in the trash. Why would you redesign? Here's what I don't understand. They could have left the old designs up.
Yeah.
They could be selling a version 2 and a version 1.
It's probably cheaper just to make the one kind, I assume.
Capitalism.
I mean, we know that Tykables has had a number of shipment problems in the past, a lot of supply problems. I wonder if this is their solution to that somehow, or is just they just want it all streamlined.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm pretty certain that everything that they have is now on that same shell, so it's probably coming off the same production line at the same factory out of the same port. I imagine it's cut down on cost quite a bit, but to what end?
Then anything else that's not that shell is just stuff that they're selling through their store.
Yeah.
Like, they have the Tynamols, they have the NRU stuff that they sell in their store and on their website, but obviously it's not the same. But, I mean, the nice thing, I guess, is that with the absorption stuff, I mean, the absorption thing is always kind of a myth. We know that, realistically, absorption only goes up to, like, 5,000-something milliliters. But things have been pretty quality across the board these last few years. I can only think of a few times that I've had a diaper spectacularly fail. Like, no absorption.
I would say that I would say that quality over the past like 12 months has been exceptional. But there was that weeping issue with the Alphagators and the Little Kings that was that ABU, frankly, was kind of, they acknowledged it publicly, then they weren't like giving any refund or credit or anything to the people who were complaining about it. I know I never got compensated for it. I complained about it because how am I going to wear this diaper under, like, I can't wear khakis. I can't wear anything light. Right. It's going to weep. And that's piss. There's piss on the outside. That's the problem. But they fixed that.
They did.
So, you know, I rest my case. I'll get off my high horse.
But, I mean, I guess the one I can think of that I was like, okay, there's a couple I can think of. I think I had a bad case or a bad back of the Tidy Whitey's NRU. Those tapes just constantly failed on me.
You know, I had seen some... I keep my ear on the ground of ABDL social media. I don't know if you know that. What that really means is that I have severe clinical depression and I spend all day on my phone. But anyway, yeah, there was a lot of people saying that they were having those issues. And I feel like as a community, we kind of ignore some of these things sometimes. But we have to I feel like it's important to remember to a point that at the end of the day, these are businesses. And oftentimes, these businesses might not be doing what is exactly community forward, you know? It's still a transaction. We are a customer. They are a business. We should expect the same level of professionalism in quality and quality control from these companies as we do from a regular company because we're paying them like they're a regular company. We're paying lots of money for this.
Right.
This is an economy.
And this is a economy-based king and economy-based community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't just, like, make a diaper. Like, you can if you want to go back to the old days of making your diaper out of garbage bags and all that.
I'm worried. We're getting close.
But these are things we constantly have to buy to keep ourselves going forward. It would be nice if we had companies that we could consistently rely on to give us the things.
Oh. See, there was the problem with your sentence. Companies that we consistently rely on. It's never going to happen.
Companies. I'm saying it would be nice. I'm not saying that it's going to be that. But we do have to be vigilant that we actually are checking the quality of our stuff to make sure that it is what it is. That's it. Did I complain when I got that pack of Tidy Whiteys? No. I just let the tapes fail. I just let it be what it was, and I just grumbled about it and complained to my friends.
I will quote famously, James Frost, put in a support ticket.
Ultimately, yes, that is what you should do.
Because at the end of the day, if no one says anything, they don't even know there's a problem.
If you can remember what bag you have, like what batch it was, and all that stuff on there, if you can include it.
The batch numbers. I never, because I take my diapers out and I set them up so I don't have the bags.
But I'm sure it helps.
And I'm not writing them down.
If you can, it's nice to have, but it's not important.
You know, maybe I'll install an iPad in my closet just for this. That would be good for the environment, wouldn't it? That's a wonderful use of electronics.
To track the numbers that are on the bags.
Yeah. Oh, I could get a barcode scanner.
I suppose you could. I feel like that would be a little bit of a wasteful purchase, but...
Actually, you know what I think I would get? I would get... are you familiar with a Pixis system? Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
So it's a giant security-locked cabinet with a little computer attached to it that they use in hospitals. So you'd have to badge in, scan what you take out, close the drawer, lock everything. I want that system in my house. They start at like, I think like $50,000 or $60,000.
That's a lot of money.
But I think I need one.
I would be worried that whatever was behind the system, you'd be too lazy to get it out.
I used to use the Crinkles app.
Yeah.
Gave up on that. I was holding strong with that for a while.
But then, I mean, your wearing habits have changed a lot these last few years.
It's just another thing to keep track of. And I have eyeballs. I can look.
But you like keeping track of things. You like when people keep track of you.
Oh, actually, matter of fact, I have a camera in my house that has a perfect view of the diaper supply. I don't need to write anything down. I can look at it on a camera.
Can you zoom in far enough to see all the numbers you need to see?
We're not going there, but at the very least. So here's the situation that I'm dreaming up that could occur.
Okay.
Me and my husband are driving towards Maryland, and we are thinking, are we going to stop by ABU and buy a bunch of diapers? I can now check on the camera and see, oh, no, the closet is full. Need us not contribute to the economy.
That's smart. That's smart.
Oh, this is not a podcast about putting cameras in my house. We need to switch topic.
How many diapers are in your collection currently?
Currently? I got a lot of M4s in the closet right now.
Classic.
My husband bought a new diaper called Your Pal Patches.
Okay.
I do not know who makes it.
Let's look it up.
It's called Your Pal Patches. It only comes in one size, large.
Little Troubles.
That's the one.
It is, yeah, just the one size. They look cute. They look kind of Tyka Bullsy.
They look better in person than I would say a Tyka Bulls diaper does.
So this is
the plastic's pretty good.
Yeah, this is like a whole
new design. The tapes are good. It's very good art by people in the community.
Hell yeah.
And it's great to support them. It's a good diaper. It does what a diaper is meant to do.
I wonder what their sizing is. Like, it's a
lot. Is it listed?
But what does that mean?
That's a good question.
I mean, I know your husband. I know that they're probably huge.
They're huge on them.
That doesn't really help me. But I am curious. I wonder, maybe I can get some at some point and we'll do a little investigation.
Investigation station.
So you have a fair amount.
Yeah. I have a fair amount. We have some Little Kings as well. I have a few reserve diapers that are for special occasions, but they're not really in the rotation.
I have a lot. I cannot even count how many I have. I have probably 5 cases, maybe more.
Good Lord.
No, probably like 7, if I had to guess. 7 or 8 cases.
If you're going to like a fancy dress event, what diaper are you wearing?
What time is it?
Like 8:30.
Okay. Assuming that I did stuff during the day, which means I was likely to change early, then I would have to change again. I probably have to wear something nicer. So, like, either a cuter design or like a Mega Max, just to make sure that, like, everything is contained, hopefully.
You ever worn a Rears Seduction?
Yes.
I have as well. I hated them. The cut was awful.
I want them back so much, just for the colors.
There's a purple dog in Atlanta that I recently bestowed the knowledge upon them as an elder in the community that these existed, and I sent them links to where to purchase them so that they could take purple photos with them. I'm waiting for those to come out. I'm very excited.
You consider yourself an elder in the community?
No, other people have called me that, and it's deeply hurt me.
I don't know if I can say, I think we're still in the prime of being in the community. I don't know if we're quite elder status yet.
Someone called me history.
I think we have done things that have been important, maybe. I will grant you that. I'm not going to sit here and say that we're important people, that we've done actually important things. We certainly have not done actual important things.
Here, well, I have. I was an American hero. Anyway, moving on. So, what were we talking about?
Diaper stashes?
No. What were we just talking about?
About, elder being elders and whether or not we've made a difference.
I don't think we can be considered ABDL history yet. Because no one's written about us.
I mean, yes. The history is necessitated by having someone write down the things that happened.
How are we to be enshrined in history?
Do we deserve it? I don't know.
I think it would be important for reflection. Let's say, at the end of the day, the projects that we work on together did fail, for whatever reason. I think it would be important for people to be able to go back and see what we did to do it again.
I can see that, sure.
Which is, ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't give a fuck who it is, but, you know, there's a huge ABDL kink community in Chicago. There's a huge active kink community in Chicago, and I think it's important that it stays that way.
Yes.
And as the ABDL faction, we have a large piece of the pie, a lot larger than people might think, in Chicago.
New people move here every month.
Chicago is the destination for kinksters all across the board. Not even just ABDLs. I'm talking pups, rubber, anything and everything. Everyone's flocking to Chicago. It's the place to be. Now, it's the safest city for LGBT people.
Granted, we are recording this on August 26th.
Ooh, yeah, that's true. Anything could happen.
Anything could happen after this point in Chicago. We don't know.
Tits up.
That said, aside from that, I have met people at events every single month. I have met people that have heard of us from out of state, out of country. They know what's going on. They know that Chicago is a place to go. And that is important.
The amount of inquiries that we have gotten in the past couple years from Ireland and Germany and Australia asking if we could come and start Puddle Scouts there is, I think, first off, a little overwhelming. I didn't expect it. It keeps happening. And, you know, I'll make the plea right now. If anyone would like to pay us to come do it, sure, we'll come set up a Puddle Scouts for you wherever you want.
We're not a Puddle Scouts podcast.
This is not a Puddle Scouts podcast. And also, that's a joke. We cannot be bought. We're not part of the establishment.
If you'd like to give us money as Puddle Scouts to support us, there's other ways to figure that out and do that. We're just here to try to make a podcast because we think it's important.
It's extremely important.
That said,
I'm so mad at the government, Domino.
Yeah, I can imagine why. It's kind of fucked right now.
There's a there's multiple genocides happening.
Yes. There have been multiple genocides happening for years.
No one. Well, actually, here's the crazy part. Lots of people care very vocally, but no one's doing anything. And I do not understand what the fuck is going on.
These people depend on institutions and things larger than themselves to actually care for those things.
The amount of people who truly just have no clue exactly what's going on in Gaza is outrageous.
I think the average American person who cares about the genocide in Gaza says, if not publicly, then secretly to themselves, well, I'm just this random citizen. I can't just go to Israel and make a difference about this.
There's always ways to contribute.
There are. But I think there is a lack of confidence and a lack of like actual know-how to put their thoughts into action.
Sometimes all you have to do to contribute is like something or repost something. That's enough. Like if you are totally taxed and you don't have any money, you don't have a way to, or you know, you might be disabled like I'm disabled and you're not able to go out to protests and stuff. Well, give a like, give a repost. That's what your power is right now. Make a voice.
You say that, and I agree with that, but there are also people that see that stuff, and they're like, all these keyboard warriors always repost and always typing shit online, but they never go out and actually do anything about it. You actually talk with them in person, they're just going to turn tail and run away.
I wouldn't turn tail and run away. I'd probably get fucked up, because I'm Fraggle. But, shout out to Fraggle Rock. Are you familiar with Fraggle Rock?
I have heard of it. I've never seen it.
Oh my god, really?
Yes.
You must watch Fraggle Rock.
Okay.
You must. It's transformative.
I will certainly put it on a list to watch at some point.
It's fucking great, man.
Yeah, your last recommendation, My Dinner with Andre, was actually pretty good.
A phenomenal film. That is a true art piece, if I do say so myself.
I think the topics discussed there in that movie are important to consider then, now, in the future.
The ability to experience having a meal, breaking bread with friend, and having conversation, I think is one that's quite to be cherished. And now there's a lot of people out there who don't have that experience.
Yeah.
But it's a good one.
I find that there are times when breaking bread with people and like having those experiences are like the best times you have with certain people. When you're outside, I agree. When you're outside of those circumstances, it's almost like they didn't happen. But in your mind, you remember that they happened.
You will engage during a meal in conversation, and there's, especially if you can go to a family style meal place, is perfect, because then you have to engage in conversation to exchange pleasantries and such. But you engage in a meal with them and you just have these really natural conversations about who you are in your life, and you're just eating food, so you have natural times to take breaks and think about your responses. It's phenomenal.
That said, I think sometimes they can also be misleading, right? Like, when you're watching My Dinner with Andre, the question, at least I was asking myself, is like, how full of shit is Andre actually?
I think pretty.
Right. But there's always a possibility that he's actually serious. And the whole thing actually happened, right?
That's true. Often people take me in a joking manner when in reality I'm dead serious.
And people take you dead serious when you're also joking. I've seen that.
That's true. That's true. It's really hard to know, because a lot of these people, especially in the younger age groups, missed out on a lot of the socialization of becoming an adult because of COVID. And I just think that they don't know how to act.
I understand what you mean, but can you explain more?
There was a time period where these people were coming of age in their adulthood, where the world was completely shut down. They weren't going to parties. They weren't, going out and getting drunk. They weren't having the regular adult life experiences for that portion of your life. And so I feel like they just do not, they literally do not know the rules of society and how to interact with other people.
And that can kind of cut both ways. I think sometimes it means that they are accidentally engaging and charming in a way that they probably don't mean to be. Where you're like, oh, are we actually having like a moment here? Are we having a connection? And no, you're not. That's just who they are, because they don't know how to like put up a veneer. But then there are other times where you engage with people and it's like, oh, we are on such different pages. We're misaligned completely. We are not at all understanding each other.
I get very confused when people do not say what they mean. I just don't understand, because it's not very hard. Just say what you mean.
My confusion comes more when you come across people that, I wouldn't say they talk like politicians, but they don't always address what you're either asking or talking about.
Oh, I'm very familiar with the politician archetype within the ABDL community.
And I'm trying to think of a good example here. Like, you're talking about, oh man, I had to get gas today and it was fucking expensive. What the fuck is up with the gas prices? And they're just like, yeah, in League of Legends I got like, 5 kills in a row and fucking I carried for 3 games straight. That's fucking amazing. Like, we are talking about two different things here, my guy.
Yeah, I've experienced that pretty often, which is a lot of times why I just don't engage in public discourse in, like, person. I'll say hi and hello, and I'll have a little friendly conversation, but I very often don't include myself into larger conversations because I just feel like people don't listen to me, so.
Then why do people have parties, and why do people have those larger conversations if not to listen to other people?
I will say, however, actually, I hosted a smaller gathering of Philadelphia area ABDLs at my home recently, and that was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Quite cozy.
Well, how many people about was it?
I think 15 or 16 people.
What made it so perfect and cozy?
It was just extremely relaxed. All we did was literally break bread. I grilled. We partook in some marijuana on the deck. There was Bluey playing the whole time. There was conversations happening the whole time. Everyone was just talking and communicating. It felt very community get together. It was exactly what I like.
You know, people may say it, and I do agree. You're very low key.
I love a low key hangout.
You're very chill. It's easy to hang out with you because there's no expectation. So if you,
yeah, I've found recently that a lot of people are coming to have experiences with me or scenes with me, and they are learning that it's okay to have a chill scene.
Yes.
It's okay to just get high and watch Bluey and cuddle. That's okay.
I've hosted some friends recently in the last several weeks, and one thing I've kind of noticed and how I've reflected on that, because I love hosting people, I want people to feel comfortable, I want people to be engaged in the city and what goes on in the city, even if they don't live here. I think that's important. Because maybe it provides connection, it convinces them maybe to move here. But I am very weary when people come to me and stay with me, and yet it is up to me to kind of dictate how things go. There's no plan unless I have the plan.
I always give the expectation when I host visitors that it is just simply I am providing a place to stay. We can interact with each other because I'm not going to be really going anywhere unless you want to go somewhere.
Right.
We're just going to be sitting in my house, which is fine. We get to spend time together,
yeah.
But we're not. There's no itinerary. Like we chill.
For me, that's enough. But
people have lost the way of the chill hangout, simply coexisting with another person.
Yeah.
It's really just an opportunity to have a low energy way to recharge your social battery while also doing something social.
Right. Like, I don't mind going out with people, doing things, and engaging in activities. That's fun. The complaint I'm having here is that someone says to me, I want to go do these things. And I'm like, great, cool. But then they look to me to plan it. And I'm like, this is your time here. You can come and go. You don't have to, have me always or include me always. You can go without me. You can plan it and have me come along. It's really up in the air. I don't want to be the nexus of everything that you end up doing while you're spending time here.
Yeah, I think it's, especially in today's day and age, it's hard to put that much weight on a person. That's a lot of work.
It is. When it's like, I could be doing other things while you do your thing. I could take you around and have you be like, I want to go to Navy Pier. Let's go to Navy Pier. Cool. But just relying on me as the expert, more or less, I think, is doing yourself a disservice. Like, yes, I know things. But
It's easy to do a Google, my friends.
Yeah. If you're going somewhere and you want to explore things, Google it. Look it up.
YouTube it, really.
Me, I'm pretty simple. I know what I want to do. I know what expectations I have. For example, we're going on a trip pretty soon to Kansas City. And the only thing that I am requesting for that trip is I would like to go to Kansas. Could be 10 minutes, could be for a meal. Doesn't matter what it is. That's all I ask. And to me, like that's about all the expectation I think I can put upon that situation.
I do think it's important for people to be getting out and having meals with other people or inviting people into their home to have a meal.
Yeah.
I think we've lost a little bit of the humanity that we used to have. And I don't like the way we're going. Especially with all this AI bullshit.
Yes.
I don't want that.
I think this is not easily explained just by code. I feel like there are other things in play here, and obviously neurodivergence is a thing in the community that we have to always acknowledge as well. But I think, you know, the way life is, it can be so fast, so brutal, so, you know, you just need the information, you just need to know what's going on, you just need, now. It's hard to kind of sit back and reflect and just let the information come when it's ready.
I find it very hard to simply just sit for a minute and not be taking in information. We have gotten to a point where we're just 24/7 consuming information.
I find it very hard to just do something and not, like, consider it work in my head. Like, I'm always doing something, or I'm planning my next move in the middle of something else, because that's just how I've been for so long. And I think that's kind of broken. It's kind of a workaholic tendency that I don't like about myself that I have worked on, but it is just a thought pattern that is hard to get rid of.
I had stopped scrolling TikTok, but recently I started scrolling TikTok again, unfortunately. But I check the news once a day to read the headlines and make sure, you know, we haven't been catapulted into full-blown civil war yet. And that's it. That's all I have capacity for right now. You know, I'm doing the best I can.
That's fair. I think, you know, if that's the best you can do, like, what else can you ask for?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully one day, I'm hoping the timing works out, you know. Hopefully one day I get to do something more. But right now, not possible.
I mean, we do a lot.
Yeah, I feel like we're doing our part, keeping the community engaged.
We do a lot behind the scenes.
Oh yeah, we love behind the scenes work. Great for the neurodivergent friend.
And you know, even like doing this technically is work. It is something like is a project for us to do and enjoy. But I my hope is that with this, you know, people do enjoy it and do find meaning in it and take some kind of worth from it. And that makes me happy.
At the very least, just, you know, join us once a month, roughly, and don't think about anything else. Just listen. We're going to talk about some bullshit and move on with our lives. Take your time here, chill out, zen. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
Move on to the next day.
We're just your friends that want to talk for a little bit, and if you want to listen, feel free.
It's like Delilah.
What?
Delilah? You know, you're not familiar with the Delilah radio channel?
No.
It's this sultry woman with a smooth voice, and you can call her in the middle of the night and tell her your problems, and she'll give you advice, and she has a song that's perfect for that situation, and she has a catchy jingle that goes, Delilah. It's a whole thing. You have never... Nothing?
Nope.
Oh my god, it's a thing.
That sounds lovely.
It's pretty good, but I think she's not... If I remember correctly, she's not a very good person, I think. No. We've discovered. But I don't know that for sure.
Well, if that is the case, that sucks. If that's not the case... Whoops.
Maybe that's just some pent-up trauma I have on my own.
That you assume that people just aren't a good person?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
I've noticed that here and there about you.
It's true.
Sometimes you're just going to be pulled down back to earth and be like, no... You're misinterpreting this conversation. I'll tell you this is why.
Sometimes I'll imagine a conversation or I'll have a dream about a conversation with a person and then I'll be mad at them, but it never happens. So
I guess one question I'd like to go back to. It's slipping into the event organizing role for a second. If shit goes down in Chicago, what is the etiquette for holding events?
If neighborhoods are safe, I think we should continue to have events as long as we can. You know, if we have to reduce events for safety's sake, maybe that's something we look into. But it's going to all be very reactive based off of what the local government has to say. And, you know, we'll keep an eye on, you know, the threat of federal troops if that's a problem. Because we don't want anyone to get hemmed up, of course.
Right.
So, you know, we'll make sure we're keeping people safe.
And, you know, obviously people come from different places. So, like, if it's safer for us, but it's not safer for you, we understand. You do not have to come. Like, yeah. We want you here, but if it's not safe, don't come.
And if we are holding an event and you feel like it's not safe for you to go out, just don't go out. That's okay.
Like, I do believe in, like, resisting and holding events anyway and trying to show that we're not afraid.
But that I comes agree.
To a point.
Yeah, you got to make sure that you protect you at the end of the day, especially, you know, things could get hairy. Yep. We don't know.
We'll continue to see how things develop. All right. Now, to completely break and go to something else, the binge and purge cycle. How has that affected your life? How has it affected my life? How do we feel about it? How do we combat it?
It's definitely real. I might be going through a little bit of a purge cycle of my own right now. I'm not getting rid of anything. I think that's because of my old age. I know that there's no reason to, but it sucks.
I mean, you're not bagging everything up in black trash bags.
Yeah, no, but it's definitely like internalized kink shaming and shit.
Even Jakey has internalized.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, there's the other part is that I just have a really hard time. I'm on a lot of drugs that affect my mood, and I don't really have any feelings right now, so it's very hard to get into a place where I can engage in an activity like that and enjoy myself.
Is it just that you're so far removed from it that even just putting on a diaper every day just doesn't feel...
Yeah, there's nothing. It's just nothing.
Even just as a reflex?
Yeah. It's... And sometimes it's like, ugh, this is another thing I have to take care of. Like, something I gotta put in the trash. Something I gotta take to the trash. It's a whole thing. And I could... Because I'm just spending a lot of my time in my house. So I could just use the bathroom. It's also more cost-effective, better for the environment. While I'm staying in my own home, to just use the bathroom. Unless I have, like, an explicit desire to wear a diaper. Like, sometimes I generally will end up wearing a diaper to bed. For,
yes, you should.
You know, cautionary sake.
You should.
I'm finding it hard to connect with the whimsy that I require. Or the whimsy that I... seek out when I'm engaging with this side of my life, and it's really hard to do that right now with everything that's going on.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the difference between people that kind of prioritize like the AB side of things versus people that don't. Like, whimsy's nice. I'm like, this for me is just like part of the day, and I enjoy that it's just part of the day. I'm not looking for anything special from it at a certain point. I like that it's so normalized that, like, it's like brushing teeth. It's like making food. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes that's nice.
Like, I feel like now, being 24/7 for so long, it is a starting point for enjoying myself or having a good day. It's not always that case, but it's an opportunity.
I think if you have the ability... it's a good way to start and end your day. Diaper.
So you're feeling you're having a binge cycle right now, or a purge cycle, I should say.
Yeah.
Or at least what passes for it.
Yeah. What I think is my equivalent. I feel kind of disconnected from the community. Not simply because I am spending part of my time, you know, on the East Coast, but simply for the fact that I am intersecting in so many communities, and some people don't like other things, and so they might not, you know, really care to speak to me, because all, you know, what they might know about me is that I'm an ABDL instead of all the other things that I am.
But you are all those other things and also an ABDL.
Yeah, but it's hard for them to see that.
Are they worth it then?
I don't think so.
And why?
But that makes a circle small, my friend.
That makes the circle small, yes, but that's like saying, I don't know, the lady at the grocery store didn't like that I picked pineapples today. I'm going to still try to be her friend anyway, though.
I'm never really going to put a bunch of effort into trying to be someone's friend. It's got to happen naturally.
Exactly. So if they're against you because you like to piss yourself, fuck them.
Fuck them. And then 9 times out of 10, these motherfuckers end up being the same thing.
What's that?
An ABDL.
They just don't know it yet.
Oh, yeah. That's always the case.
Well, I don't think we can solve your purge problem right here, right now. But I believe in you that you can get over this. And you'll go back into feeling yourself a little bit more. I feel like you've been there a few times. You've rebounded. It's just that when bad things happen, you kind of fall back.
Yeah, I think I'll be fine. I'm doing a good job right now of not getting rid of anything.
Do you feel the urge to?
No, not really, but that's because I have it all stored away.
That's fair. Well, I think that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this pilot, first episode, whatever you want to call it, of the Puddlecast podcast. I'm curious personally to see how this will end up in the final edit. I don't know yet. It'll be an adventure that we figure out together.
No matter what time of day it is, my friends, I hope you have a wonderful night. Get some good sleep. Check underneath your pillow for money. You may have lost a tooth.
And you know what? If you leak, you leak. That's just how it goes.
C'est la vie.
This has been Domino and Jakey. We're signing off now. Good night.
Delilah.